What a joy to be with you today. I've done a little research on Ensign College. It was founded in 1886, about the same time I was born. Over 522 students graduated last year in 2020, and Ensign College awarded over 600 two-year degrees and almost 300 certificates. There are presently 2,200 students enrolled, and listen carefully, with approximately 35% of the student body coming from other countries. I love that. I love that. I want to impress upon you today, each of you, one significant concept, that with faith in yourself and in our Savior, you can overcome any darkness. You can overcome any challenge and achieve great success. In November of 2007, my wife Cheryl and I were eating an early dinner at a Thai food restaurant in Boston where we lived. My cell phone rang just as our food arrived. The lady on the other end said that she was the secretary of President Monson and he wanted to speak to us. Can you imagine my thoughts? Now my mind pushed forward to unrealistic conclusions. Was this Thomas S. Monson of Salt Lake City? Was this President Thomas S. Monson of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints? Could it be that the prophet of the Lord wanted to talk to us? Well, I explained that we had just started eating at a Thai food restaurant, but that we could bundle up everything and head to our home just minutes away. On the way back to our house, my beloved companion and I composed ourselves and prepared for a possible call to serve from the Lord's prophet. We called the number given to us, and in short order, President Monson was on the phone. Just as you'd expect, he was positive, he was joyful and reassuring. In a booming voice, his first words were, "Brother Benton, so how was the Thai food?" For the life of me, I can't remember my response. But he quickly got to the point that the Lord wanted us to preside over a Spanish-speaking mission yet to be determined. He talked to us for 45 minutes, and he even had his wife, Sister Frances Monson, give us some advice. Wow, one-on-one counsel from the Lord's anointed, it truly was heady stuff. I took 7 full pages of notes. After that call, our lives started speeding up. In early February, we were told that we would be assigned to the Argentina Buenos Aires West Mission. At the same time, we started preparing in many ways to leave our life in Boston and begin the life-changing events that were to follow. Now listen well. My entire life, I have been blessed with a positive outlook, a can-do attitude, if you will. I know that with the Lord's help, anything is possible. Yet Cheryl and I, while being very excited, both felt slightly fearful as well. When we finally arrived in Buenos Aires, my positive attitude had vanished completely. I had been diagnosed with walking pneumonia, and a darkness seemed to settle over both of us. Now, I had founded and led a company with over 20,000 employees. I had held a number of responsible positions in the church. For the first time since I could remember, I felt I couldn't do this. Cheryl was incredibly homesick, and I just wanted to be hit by a bus. He would have been a great president, but that doggone bus hit him. I've come to realize that such thinking in similar situations is not uncommon. I appreciate the saying, wherever truth is found, the dust of the battle with Satan can be seen. He's always close, always trying to destroy our righteous desires. Our truth was serving the Lord in Argentina, and he was trying hard to destroy that truth. Let's review just a few case studies on this subject. I love President Gordon B. Hinckley. I was interviewed by him several times when I was in Houston, Texas, serving as a bishop. He was such a can-do, positive man, and I wanted to emulate his great traits. Yet, as a young man, When he was called to serve a mission in Preston, England, he had a similar darkness come over him. He'd been suffering from a flu-like illness, and in a desperation of seeming inability to do the work, he wrote to his father, who was also his stake president, "Father, I'm wasting my time and your money. I want to come home." Whoa, my idol. Having such negative thoughts, the prophet who led the way for us to become a worldwide church, his father wisely wrote back, "Gordon, forget yourself and go to work." Here's another example. I've always felt that Ammon, one of the sons of Mosiah, is perhaps the greatest missionary of all time, certainly one of the best found in the annals of the Book of Mormon. Yet, at the beginning of his mission, he had similar misgivings. In a wonderful summary of his and his brother's work, found in chapter 26 of Alma, verse 27, Alma relates their feelings at the start of their mission. "And now, remember when our hearts were depressed and we were about to turn back? Does that sound familiar? What, Ammon, the greatest missionary of all time, basically saying, 'I can't do this. I want to go home. I want to sleep in my own bed and have my mommy take care of me.'" There are countless other examples, not just of missionaries. Think of Joseph Smith and his first verbal prayer in the Sacred Grove. He stated, "I had scarcely begun to pray when immediately I was seized upon by some power which entirely overcame me and had such an astounding influence over me that I could not speak. Thick darkness gathered around me, and it seemed to me for a time as if I were doomed to sudden destruction." Wow, how do we overcome such feelings? In each instance, it seems that some dark negative feelings overtake our rational thinking. Likewise, it seems the Lord is there ready to grasp us by the arm and pull us to safety. We just need to continue to have faith enough to reach out to Him. One of the miracles of the Savior, which teaches us several principles, is when Christ was walking on the water of Galilee in Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 33. Seeing the Savior walking toward the boat which carried the apostles, these apostles, were troubled, thinking it was some evil spirit, and they cried out for fear. But the Savior said, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." If you ever have any thoughts about not being capable, restate the Lord's message. "Be of good cheer," He's saying to us. "It is I, your Savior. Be not afraid." Well, in this instance, Peter, ever the adventurous one, called out, "Bid me come unto thee on the water." And the Savior said, "Come." And with just enough faith, Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. But in an instant, Peter lost that faith. I can almost hear him thinking, saying to himself, "You idiot, you can't walk on water. Besides, this is pretty rough, and with the wind and this horrible storm, how stupid could you be?" Well, as we all know, he began to sink. And he cried out, "Lord, save me." I think we've all done that. Well, the Lord immediately stretched forth his hand, caught him, saying, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Now, there are countless other examples where we are shown that with faith in ourselves and in our Savior, we can do what might seem impossible. Similarly, I love the story in Mark chapter 9, where a man brings his son to the Savior and asks Jesus to cast out the demon which possesses his son. In verse 23, the Savior states a significant eternal principle. "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." The Father, it says, straightway declares his earnest belief. "Lord, I believe." But like Peter or President Hinckley or Ammon or me, falteringly adds, "Help thou my unbelief. I believe, but I don't know if I have enough belief, enough faith to receive this miracle. I don't have enough faith to serve this mission. I don't have enough faith to walk on water with the Lord right there, or to receive an answer to a prayer which will usher in the last dispensation. Faith is the crux. Between being president of a mission with 468 marvelous missionaries over the span of 3 years, and president of a missionary training center with almost 2,500 missionaries over 2 years, my wife Cheryl and I had plenty of opportunities to interview fine young men and women. My wife was in charge of all their medical needs and also helped them with adjusting to missionary life. I talked with them about their worthiness, their concerns for normal and missionary problems, and how to be successful as a missionary. We both spent significant amounts of time in interviews. I calculate that I had about 9,000 interviews over that 5-year period. At an average length of 15 minutes for each interview, and working 8 hours a day, that amounts to well over a year full of interviews. Now, when we received new missionaries at the MTC, I interviewed each of them. 10% came with one or more of three worries. I don't have a strong enough testimony to serve a mission. I don't have enough ability to serve a mission. I am not worthy enough to serve a mission. I don't have a testimony. I don't have the ability, and I certainly am not worthy. But in 95% of these cases, none of these statements were correct. They had, just like President Hinckley, just like Ammon and me, a darkness settle over them. I realized, and listen well, that with time, and as Alma chapter 32 teaches, just a particle of faith, or even no more than a desire to believe, if we let that desire to have faith work in us, we'll overcome that darkness. It's just like training for a sport or learning a musical instrument. These new missionaries had never really exercised their spiritual muscles. As all former missionaries know, in the MTC, and you're in a mission, there is ample opportunity to exercise our spiritual muscles and let that desire to have faith work within us. In usually 2 short weeks, all their doubts have disappeared, replaced by a growing faith in the Lord and in their own abilities. There's a fun story of two shoe salesmen who were assigned by their shoe company to sell shoes to the inhabitants on a remote island. After several weeks, the first shoe salesman poured out his feelings in a letter to his employer. "You've got to send a boat to take me back home. I can't possibly sell shoes to the people on this island. They don't wear shoes. They don't need shoes. I'm wasting my time here. Help me, please." I'm also an actor. On the other side of the island, after about a month, the second shoe salesman also wrote a letter to his employer. "You've got to help me. Please send a boat with more shoes. You see, I've sold all the shoes I had. What a fantastic opportunity. No one here has shoes. All I have to do is demonstrate the benefit of wearing shoes, and bam, I sold another pair. Please help me." Wow, what a different response to the same situation. Whenever we are faced with a seeming obstacle, many of us begin to be overcome with doubts. Instead, look for the opportunity. Prayer and meditation will always bring about a positive view. Say to yourself, "There must be a successful ending. Lord, please help me find it." In the scriptures, there are seeming countless recitations of the principle that all things are possible if we have faith. Or said differently, nothing is impossible to him who believes. So with that understanding, let's agree that if we believe, if we have faith, nothing is impossible. Let's have a little test. With enough faith, it should therefore be possible to grow palm trees in the tops of the northern mountains of Alaska, where everything is frozen, right? Well, I know what you're thinking. That's stupid. Everyone knows you can't do that. Why even ask that question? Oh, ye of little faith. Of course we can grow palm trees in the mountains of Alaska. We just have to build a gigantic heated greenhouse. have faith. So how do you obtain this abiding faith, a feeling within us that will dispel any darkness? Interesting that every example we have discussed had a happy ending. Keep that in mind. Not long ago, before the temples had closed, I was facing a daunting problem. After a temple session, I sat in the celestial room asking the Lord for help and reassurance. As I stand here today, I know I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Everett, everything will be fine." And he repeated it again. Now, just as this spiritual experience ended, our stake president, who unbeknownst to me was also in the temple, he came over and said, "Brother Benton, what a joy to see you. How is your life going?" For me, it was a physical confirmation that the Lord did in fact speak to me. Remember, the Lord, most likely through the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, is always there to reach down, hold our hand, and lift us up. One of my favorite apostles was Elder Richard G. Scott. He served as a mission president in Argentina for 4 years, and his love of the Argentine people is legendary. I met with him, my wife and I met with him 4 times, and we had the opportunity of attending a temple session with him. He once told me that whenever he worked to find a solution to a problem, he would follow the same routine. He would write down the problem and anything else he needed to receive counsel on from the Lord. He would then get on his knees and pray vocally, usually in a whisper. If necessary, he would refer to his notes. Then he would sit up, wait for inspiration, and write down his impressions. He would wait and meditate until these impressions came. And then he would get on his knees again and ask, "Is there anything else, Lord?" This was not a quick or easy process, and sometimes he would put aside his notes and review them again later, restarting the same process again. Hopefully, you've gained some information to help you to be wildly successful, happy, and on the Lord's path. But unless you take some action based upon what you've learned, this has been a mere diversion. Wow, we've covered a lot in a short period of time. So where do we go from here? Let me suggest a few things to remember. Takeaways, if you will. If you haven't done before, now would be a good time to take a few notes. First, everyone has dark times. Satan is always there, ready to destroy our truth, your truth. Think back in your own life. Haven't you at some time said, "I can't do this. I give up. I want to go home"? Take heart. It's universal. Second, knowing this, remember that the Lord has told us many, many times that He is there ready to reach out for us. If we just exhibit the smallest particle of faith, we can overcome any obstacle, accomplish any goal. We can find eternal happiness. Third, remember the Lord's declaration. "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." I have many times I've kept a small picture of the Savior in my pocket, and I take it out and remember that He is there, and I repeat His words. Fourth, let's utilize Elder Scott's method of obtaining inspiration and revelation from our Heavenly Father. Write down what troubles you and what you want to accomplish. Be specific. Review this before praying on your knees. Vocally ask our Heavenly Father to help. Write down your thoughts, then ask again, "Is there anything else, Father?" Wait patiently and write down any additional thoughts you have. I know I've just given you a start, but that's all you need. 80% of a rocket's fuel is used just getting inertia enough to get off the ground. Well, you're already off the ground. You're here at Ensign College studying. You can do whatever you need or want to do with faith in yourself and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sure I know very few of you, but know this, I love you. I love you because I know what you stand for, and I know what you're trying to accomplish. But more importantly, I know the Lord loves you. I know He lives. He is our Savior. This is His church. In His sacred name, the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.